You're listening to Air Schooner, listening that moves you. Hosted by Stacy Waite and Scott Winter.
The hand scroll, woven from silk, has a finch in the cane, rendered in the ink of lamp black. Because with some beauty you feel the need to talk aloud to it, tell it about itself. I got closer until I could see the depth produced by the silk sucking on the soot. And slightly self-conscious, I addressed the bird, asked whether it were sketched with a switch of willow or a brush of goat's hair. It was endeared and twittered there, slit in the cane. It asked me if I were the scholar or the angler, if I saw the horsemen with the tribute horse pass the village on their way to court.
She's Stacy Waite.
And he's Scott Winter. And that was the poet Brandon Somm reading the first section of his poem entitled The Tribute Horse.
Today we're talking to three poets, Somm, Charlene Sperrin, and Natalie Saphir, all of whom have been inspired by visual art, specifically paintings.
Brandon Somm teaches as a PhD candidate in the Creative Writing and Literature program at the University of Southern California. His work has been published in Best New Poets, Barrow Street, Black Warrior Review, and elsewhere. His chapbook, Babel's Moon, won the Snowbound Poetry Prize from Tupelo Press.
Stace got the chance to talk with Somm about his poem, The Tribute Horse. So we got to learn a bit more about Somm's relationship to the painting he's writing about. The painting was called Finches and Bamboo.
I had been reading books on Chinese painting and calligraphy. And I was really interested in the kind of intimate relationship between calligraphy and painting. And this really gets at what we're talking about in terms of ekphrastic writing. Because it's not just this conversation between visual art and literary art, but it's also something more fundamental, like this relationship between images and words. And I was really fascinated in the teaching of calligraphy, the way written description is employed to teach the elements of words or the stroke work. Also, ekphrasis, from my understanding, comes from the Greek to speak out. And I think the opening gesture of the poem, that's where that comes from, this idea of entering a dialogue with a visual work.
I love those lines because with some beauty you feel the need to talk aloud to it, to tell it about itself. And I really connected with what Somm had to say there about ekphrasis meaning to speak out, this idea of speaking to the art or finding a way to speak for ourselves through the art, is something that came up in Marianne Kunkel's interview with Charlene Sperrin as well.
Sperrin teaches in the Department of English at Allen University. She's a poet in residence at the Columbia Museum of Art in Columbia, South Carolina, and she's the associate director of the South Carolina Poetry Initiative. Her chapbook, Without Possessions, won the 2006 Stepping Stone Press Editor Series Award, and she's also the author of the poetry collection, A Book of Exquisite Disasters. Sperrin talked about a particular poem of hers called Gazing at the Scar that seemed to really allow her to speak through the painting about something other than the painting itself.
Some of those pieces, it's how the artist, and again, portrays the human element. That's what I'm drawn to. And it can be, for instance, really, the Letter to Lena poem came from a very abstract piece of art. And it was essentially, as you know, the poem relates, it was this abstract-looking head and with these huge charcoal eyes. And as I stared at it, the angulation of what would have been the upper body, I noticed at kind of a 90-degree angle, there was this kind of little puff of, you know, brown paint that was there. And I suddenly, then it became the head of a female holding a baby. And so, you know, as I say, it's not one kind of art. It's just how that piece of art, when I climb into it, where do I see that human element emerging in the piece? Gazing at the Scar. Yeah, that poem was a complete surprise to me in the end. I had I always wanted to write a letter poem, and had studied Richard Hugo's work, in writing the letter poem. It ended up being a poem about my sister who had an abortion, who has never really been the same since. And so, again, that trauma, that pain, that human element, it was a blend of all of those things. The image of what the museum looked like, the image of the painting, the image of, what my sister had gone through, and then writing the letter poem.
And here is Spirin reading that poem, Gazing at the Scar, from a book of exquisite disasters.
Dear Lena, today is nothing, another tepid Tuesday. I took a trip. The doctor said, get outside of yourself, open your eyes, live. I'm ashamed. There is so much dormant energy, and the world is like one enormous eye, the lashes a fringe between sky and dark waters. Sometimes I pretend I'm batty and blind. Right, you say. But inside my head in all the empty spaces, there is fear. It rises in the night, hides behind each half-shut lid, haunts the day, comes in soft cries. This morning there was hardly anyone at the museum, only a handful of workers. A humane woman with her Walmart greeter smile, lips painted Cupid red, poured out cheerful words. A security guard nodded, then rested his eyes between silence and the floor slick as a surgeon's knife. Up the spiraling stairs, to the left of all the holy mothers, 100 or so it seems, there is a 2x4 room. Inside that womb, the noon light gleamed, and brush strokes, vibrant as blood, spattered the hung canvas and my mind. Eyes, magic charcoal eyes, seemingly alienated from the painted head, seemed to know my nightmare. And under the tilt of one eyebrow, deep inside one iris, a baby hid, complete with shape and breath. She was a bright young thing. Lena, we never carry a blank slate. The good or bad move like threads that loop through the needle's eye. You know the cold gray unraveling I hide, the one marked unwanted child, the one named shameful mess. Lena, I want to stop fearing night's cold crash. I want to slip inside those suspended eyes, search for some speck of luminous forgiveness. Love, Sister Mary.
Perhaps wanting to speak to the art is really the same thing as seeing the self somewhere in the art. Natalie Safier, who has taught at the Hudson Valley Writers Center and is the author of many books, including To Face the Inscription and Love Like Snow, is also a poet moved by her experiences with visual art.
Scott, I got the chance to interview Safier about her poem Matisse's Dance, which is a widely anthologized ekphrastic piece, and Safier told me a kind of story about how the poem came into being.
I ask myself when I look at a painting, where is my attention drawn? And in this particular case, it was immediately drawn to the break in the circle dance. And it became for me a dropped stitch. The little one who seems young and kind of desperate, the figure in the foreground who's sort of slanting sideways, seems to be trying awfully hard to grab onto this tall woman who seems to me to be the kingpin. The tallest woman is quite noticeable, and the little one, I like to call her the little one because I don't know what else to call her, but she really seems to want to get in on whatever's going on. That's my projection, when you're writing a poem to a painting, at some point you're making it your own, and what am I saying there? I'm saying, hurry, frightened one, grab on, because life is fleeting. And if you don't grab on now, pretty soon life is going by.
Let's listen to Safier performing Matisse's dance.
Dropped stitch between the hands of the slender figure stretching too hard to reach her joyful sisters. Spirals of glee sail from the arms of the tallest woman. She pulls the circle around with her fire. What has she found that she doesn't keep losing? Her torso a green burning torch. Grass mounds curve ripely between two others who dance beyond the blue. Breasts swell and multiply and rhythms rise to a gallop. Hurry, frightened one, and grab on before the stitch is forever lost, before the dance unravels and a black sun swirls from that space.
You know, Scott, for me, one of the most powerful things we learned from these interviews were the ways these poets thought about visual art in relation to their teaching, and both Natalie Saphir and Brandon Somm offered some thoughts about how students of writing might find something worthwhile in that interaction between images and words.
I have probably 200-300 postcard collection from visiting various museums, many in New York, others elsewhere. And when I find that the students need like a boot in the butt or they seem to be running out of inspiration, I would put on the table, let's say I had 6 students, I would put maybe 9 postcards face up on the table and ask them to choose quickly, impulsively, and without thinking. So immediately you're talking about a deep response of some kind. And then my little speech about how to do this is to enter the picture, not to describe what you see, but to allow yourself to enter what you see and be there and write from within the painting.
I think it's also important for students of poetry to bring things into into the poem. And so I often work with paintings or sculpture videos just to get students to bring things into their poems, to get outside of themselves. I think that's a big thing for me as a writer and a teacher, is to kind of be able to engage with the external world. And I think acrostic writing is a great way to do that.
I like what Somm says there about students getting outside themselves. And I love it when students take on assignments that really have nothing to do with their background.
Yeah, and it seems like working with images for all 3 of our poets today is something that brings us elsewhere or puts us in dialogue with a piece of visual art, so we might see our own experience in a new way. And that's something Charlene Spearin seemed clear about, too.
It's the hidden story. That's there, that hidden image that's there. And I guess in a way that's what poetry is. You know, you have the words and you have the narrative thread, but really, you know, what is being said at the end? It's hidden oftentimes. It's told slant.
Thanks to all 3 of our poets today for coming in and telling us about how their work is intertwined with visual art.
Yeah, I had a blast talking to Brandon Somm and Natalie Saphir, and many thanks to Marianne Kunkel for interviewing Charlene Spearin, and thanks, as always, for listening to Air Schooner.
Join us at our winter launch event, January the 28th to the 29th, celebrating our Native American-themed winter 2012 issue, guest edited by Sherman Alexie. The event will take place on the University of Nebraska campus in Lincoln and will feature a reading by Alexie.
Air Schooner is a bi-weekly product of Prairie Schooner and produced with research support from James Redd, Ted Wheeler, and Marianne Kunkel. Production assistants are Catherine Larson and Franny Sprouls. Technical support comes from Rick Alloway of the University of Nebraska-Lincoln's College of Journalism and Mass Communications. Air Schooner is produced by Scott Winter and the brainchild of executive producer Kwame Dawes.